Let's see. I think it was possibly tomorrow that they were be heading out for Kentucky to visit his mother, and then he'll be starting a gospel meeting on the 15th of this month in Arkansas. So we're going to begin with lesson four this evening on the authority of Christ set forth in the New Testament. And as we begin this evening, David Skinner, could I ask you to direct our minds in prayer? Okay. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. As is customary in this class, let's begin with a review of some verses that we've gone over in Wednesday evenings past. If I wanted to go to a verse that teaches that we can use things that were, use scripture that was written in the Old Testament. And I guess that word is a hint. Written in the Old Testament as examples. What verse would I go to? Pardon me? Verse 7?
You said what part? I was thinking 2 Corinthians 3:7.
Well, okay, but I was thinking of another one. Randy? Romans 15 and 4. The things which were written aforetime have been written for our learning. And let's see. Okay.
Or the whole chapter.
If I wanted to go to a verse that says that we shouldn't look to ways that seem right to us, where would I find scripture on that point, Joey?
Proverbs 14:12.
Yes. Okay. And if I wanted to go to a verse that starts teaching fundamental principles about authority, where would I go to find scripture embodied in a question that Jesus asked?
Matthew 21:23-27.
And who can quote that? Okay. Okay. And what if I wanted to find out where faith comes from? What scripture would I go to? I'm taking it easy on you tonight. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what verse teaches us that we don't go beyond the doctrine of Christ? Joey? Whoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. 9-11. Okay. Okay. What about an example of someone in the Old Testament who you might say went beyond his place, who stepped out of his place and did something that, as a hint, did not pertain, think of the word pertain, did not pertain to him? And that is 2 Chronicles 26, and that is who?
King Uzziah.
And he did what? He offered incense. He was not of the tribe of Levi. It pertaineth not unto thee, King Uzziah. Okay. Now these are...
Terry, just a comment on that. I think a key point with that, that we can't forget about or overlook with the story there in 2 Chronicles 26. It's not like he wasn't specifically told, you cannot offer incense. The Levitical priesthood was told that that was their responsibility. The king wasn't specifically told, you can't do that. But the fact is, he wasn't told he could. So, I mean, that's a key point to keep in mind, because so many people today say, well, where does it say in the Bible I can't do this or that? We hear that argument all the time.
Yeah.
This is the story to turn to show people that that's a fallacious argument. that's the very point. He wasn't authorized. He wasn't told that
he wasn't authorized to do that.
He wasn't told that he could, and that's why he was not allowed. So that's a key point we need to remember. That's how we have to use that verse in arguments.
Okay, so these verses that we've just reviewed are from the first lesson. That first lesson really dealing with the need for and the respect for authority. By the way, while we're on that subject, can anyone think of a Gentile in the New Testament who well understood the concept of authority, who understood it extremely well? Sort of early on, you might say, in the book of Matthew. Randy. Excellent. In Matthew chapter 8. He understood the concept of authority, didn't he?
He told Jesus, "I have been under you. You will do whatever I ask."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I have a servant and I tell him to go there, he goes there. Okay. Let's change up just a little bit. Who can define the word iniquity?
Lawlessness.
Okay. And let's see. And who can think of a verse that teaches us how we should think about the written word in relation to men? How about Danny?
The written word in relation to men.
Uh-huh. Pardon? I'm asking for the citation for a verse.
For what? No. I didn't understand you.
How we should think of men in relation to the Word of God, or vice versa. Randy?
The hint is all the people that were following after the preachers. Paul told them, don't follow after preachers. Follow after what's written.
Okay. Not to think, we're charged not to think of men above that which is written. Okay. 1 Corinthians 4, 6.
Also, we should do 2 Timothy, in the end of all scripture, it came by inspiration, and it's for the Greek, that would be dealing with the passage.
Okay. And who can think of a scripture that teaches us that whatever we practice, whatever we teach, whatever we preach, we must do it by the authority of the Lord? Okay. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. The word name there coming from the Greek word namos, meaning by the authority of. Okay. And what scripture teaches us that if we... if we bid an evil doer Godspeed, that we're partaker in his deeds. Okay. Is that 2 John? 9 through 11. Same verse we looked at, verses we looked at before. And what if I wanted to go to a verse that teaches the concept that we don't add to the Word of God? Where would we find that verse? Yes. Okay. Okay, and since we're going to be talking about Jesus as a source of authority this evening, in a few moments, how did Jesus teach?
Not as a scribe,
but as one having authority. Okay. Okay. And in lesson 3, you've dealt with the what the source of authority is not. Source of authority is not the Old Testament. Anybody give me just one verse for showing Old Testament scriptures are not sources of authority for today? Randy? Okay. Which says?
Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly.
Okay. And the source of authority today is not the preacher, is it? 1 Corinthians 4 and 6. Okay. And how about 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, first few verses in that chapter, that preachers are to preach the Word of God, not their opinions, not their Word. Source of authority is not the creeds of men, not the desires of the congregation, not the elders of the local church. Joey?
But also along these same lines, Hebrews chapter 1 says, in times past, God spoke to us in various manners through the prophets, etc. But in these last days, He spoke to us through His Son.
Okay, that coupled with the 17th chapter of Matthew, which contains what story? Okay. The Transfiguration. And why? What scripture is extremely important in that story?
Hear ye Him.
Hear ye Him. Not to hear Moses, not the law of Moses, not the prophets.
Christ.
In the sense that they're authoritative today. But we are to hear the Son of God, Christ. Okay, now, Christ is the source of authority. This Christ being the source of authority is, pardon me? I do? Yeah. Let's turn to the 28th chapter of Matthew. and about verse what? 18? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And of course, God the Father gave him all authority, God the Father being an exception, being accepted here. Now, you know, and Jesus being the source of authority, there's a question that kind of comes out of that that, you know, you hear some people try to answer today, and that is simply the question is, who is Jesus? But someone may say, well, Jesus, you know, you can get a lot of different answers to that question, can't you? Some people would say Jesus was a prophet, a philosopher. Some would say he's the Son of God. But you know, in the context of our study in authority, is Jesus being the source of authority, all authority having been given to him by God the Father, actually we can, how could we relate Jesus being the source of authority actually to our study of the subject of the promise? How could we do that? Randy?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay, how could we relate our study of authority with Jesus being the source of authority, okay? How can we relate that to our study of the promise? You know, the seed promise. The seed promise in Genesis 12. And actually to the Acts class that Chris taught. Well,
I got one thing about it.
Okay.
In Colossians it says he is head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all things might have he might have preeminence. So the seed promise was bringing salvation. We have salvation through the church, which he is the head of. He's also the beginning. He is the beginning.
Well, is Jesus a fulfillment of the promise? Okay. Okay. Well, okay. I mean, we can trace that seed promise from Genesis 12 through when Jacob is saying farewell, you might say, to his sons. In the 49th chapter of Genesis, We can see that the seed promise would come through the tribe of Judah in about the 9th or the 10th verse of Genesis 49. We can see, and as we have brought up before in class in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that the seed promise would come through the lineage of whom? David. Okay. Abraham through David. And as Isaiah prophesied in the 7th chapter of Isaiah, you'd be born of a virgin. Okay. And what is one of the conclusions in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, about verse 36? What does Acts 2:36 say? Okay. Now, so verse 36 says that Jesus has been made what? Both Lord and Christ. So he is Lord. And move to another place in my notes here, but and someone look up Philippians 2 and verse 6. Go on.
But emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus was crucified. And one more verse.
Right. And wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name which is above every name.
Okay. Highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Now, doesn't that talk about authority?
Well, I mean, that's basically a parallel to the verse of the one we already read at the end of Matthew, where he said, all authority has been given unto me.
All authority has been given unto me.
But
also one more verse let's look at. John Grigowski, could you read Romans 1 and verse 4? Okay, we know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the seed promise because of the lineage that he came through and that he was raised from the dead. And in his name, every knee should bow. David?
Christ in Hebrews throne of God is forever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with joy of gladness more than your families.
Okay. Randy?
I'm kind of following the same line of thinking, I think, that Daryl mentioned a minute ago about trying to relate the authority of Jesus to the authority of the Father. Because all the way through John, Jesus continually gives it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He acknowledges the authority of the Father by saying, I'm just doing his will. And specifically in John 5, beginning verse 19, Jesus therefore answered him, saying that, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father do it. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in a like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show, that you may marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life.
Into life.
Jumping over to John 10, verse 18, or 17 and 18. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father.
Mm-hmm.
And then over in 12, John 12, beginning in verse 49. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father told me. So, I mean, you can also find in John, I guess that's 10:30, when he says, I and the Father are one. He's doing the Father's will. By mm-hmm. Jesus having all authority doesn't mean God the Father doesn't have all authority. They both have all authority. That's what makes them God, is they have authority. I mean, individually or together, it's all authority.
Right.
May I say something? But Jesus has no authority that the Father gave. He is the source. And by the fact the Father gave him all authority in heaven and earth, the universe was created through and for the Son. Yet the source, the beginning point, which is what the source means, is the Father. God can take it away or give it whatever he wants to do to his Son.
Okay. Richard?
No, that's not correct. All three of God that are the same, and they are equal. God the Father is no more powerful than God the Son or God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not a created being made by God in the beginning. All three were there at the same time. All we have to do is look at Genesis 1 to see that. When the Bible says that all authority hath been given to me in heaven and on earth, Jesus means what he says. Now, the fact of the matter is that Christ came down from heaven to become a man here on earth, and by doing that, became, it says, a little lower than the angels, whereas in heaven he was a little higher than the angels. But during the time of eternity, when Jesus was in heaven, the Christ was in heaven, he was equal with God. When he was here on earth, he was a little lower than the angels.
Lower than the angels.
When he ascended to heaven, he was again equal to God in all manners. Even when he was here on earth, he was not only just man, but he was God on this earth also. A dual character, which is difficult for a lot of people, especially in denominations, to understand. But the thing is that God is not, God the Father is not the origin of authority. They all have authority. They're all equal. They are one, as Jesus says. But the differentiation...
They're all... What you're saying is that they're all deity.
They're
And he did that voluntarily.
He did that voluntarily. It says that he learned obedience by the things that he did. But that was Jesus coming here to this earth.
Okay. Randy?
I understand what Richard's saying. I don't understand what Phil's saying. I think the hang-up right. is Matthew 28:18. If all authority has been given to me,
mm-hmm.
that means prior to being given it, he didn't have it. So are you saying that as a man he didn't have it? So it was given to him as a man on earth. He had all authority prior to coming to the earth, but then as a man, he didn't have all authority. God gave it to him.
However, as a deity, he still had all authority anyway.
That's the confusing thing. Because you know, when the man was lowered, the pallet down was lowered through the ceiling, and
yes.
said, "Your sins are forgiven."
What is that? Mark chapter 9 or Mark chapter 2? I can't remember.
I'm not sure. But the point was that he said, "Your sins are forgiven." Realize what they were thinking was
mm-hmm.
who has the authority
to forgive sins
God alone
except God.
Sins. And then he said, so you'll know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins. Rise, take up your pallet and walk.
Which is easier to do.
Which is easier to say.
Mm-hmm. It's easier to say.
But he proved right then that he had the authority to forgive his sins and the authority to heal his illness.
Mm-hmm.
He also made it clear somehow. Don't you know I can call down legions of angels? So even on earth as a man, he had authority. However, we do though see, based on the scriptures that Terry read, we do see this turning point, if you will, where he conquers death, and then he says, all authority has been given unto me.
Hey, right. Hey, one more comment on this from David.
I always looked at it. Richard said they were equal. They were all divine powers. They're all one. Okay, but in different times, one of them took different roles or
right.
responsibilities.
Different responsibilities, or there was.
God gave Jesus responsibility where everything was under his feet. Didn't mean that God gave up anything, but now he's kind of in charge. And he's going to give it back to God when he, with the judgment day, he's going to give it back. So, I don't know, I was just looking at it like they're all the equal, but they play different roles, and sometimes...
And sometimes there was a voluntary subjection.
Right. So I don't know if that helps.
Right.
That's just the way I always looked at it.
See the point that I'm making there, Randy?
Voluntary subjection. When
yes.
he emptied himself.
Exactly.
Took the form of a bondservant.
Right.
He willingly took that role.
But... before we kind of get off the subject here, when we are talking about Christ having this authority, let's do notice that what goes along with authority, the one who has authority has what? The right to rule. Isn't that correct? How about Randy? How about reading Ephesians 1 and 21 through 23?
Far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which
okay.
is the body, fullness of him, who fills all in all.
Okay, the one who has authority has the right to rule. The one who has authority also, along with the right to rule, has the right to judge, don't they? Let's see. Joey, How about looking up John chapter 5 and reading quickly verses 26 through 29?
John 5,
26 through 29. Okay, so we see that Jesus, with this authority, has the right to rule. He has the right to judge. That's why it's so important to understand verses like John 12 and 48. We're going to be judged by the words which Jesus has spoken, by His authority. Yes.
Now, I don't claim to necessarily fully understand all the nuances of how you can have three supreme beings that all have authority and yet one is given authority to another. I'm not claiming to have a full understanding of that, but that's what the text says. The Father gave authority to the Son.
And that probably is another study. Okay, so it's important to understand that Jesus, as the source of authority, has the right to rule, has the right to judge. Randy?
I was just going to say that the passage that you just read, John 5, 29, verse 30 says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. All the way through John, Jesus always throws acknowledgement to the Father. It's always about what he... what the example is that Jesus left us, is pure obedience to God's will. Even to the point of death.
Even to the point of death, that's true.
Not my will, but your will be done.
John 8, 28. Jesus said unto them, when you look at the Son of Man, you will know that I am.
All of these verses that we're looking at show that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are all one in purpose. John? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. That's 1 Corinthians 11. Yeah. That order is, I think I'm right about that, isn't it, Randy? 1 Corinthians 11?
Yeah, verse 3. Okay. The one who understands that Christ is the head of every man. Yeah, the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ.
I do think this subject that we're getting into here is really a topic of really another topic about what appears to be throughout Scripture in the Godhead at various times, as Joey and David were alluding to, a voluntary subjection at various times within the Godhead, which is really probably another subject. Okay. Richard's going to ring the bell in just a moment, or the buzzer. Now, okay, we've looked at a couple of verses that Jesus is God's ordained spokesman. I mean, at least we can at least say that about these verses, about Matthew 28 and 18. Yes, that Jesus is the ordained spokesman. God's ordained spokesman. And God requires that we hear Jesus. Now, who can quote Matthew, Deuteronomy 18:18? It's basically saying that someone is coming, isn't it? No. It's kind of on the theme, David, of someone is coming in the future. That's what that verse deals with.
Prophecy of a prophet.
Right.
Do you want to read
it? Yes, go ahead and read it.
I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him.
Okay.
So it is the prophet.
Yeah, it's a, as Randy put it, it's a prophecy of a prophet being. Who is that prophet?
He's talking about Christ.
Right. He's talking about Christ.
Right.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier he has many characteristics or facets, if you will. Not only was he king, he was priest, he was prophet, he was savior, he was all of these things.
He was all of these things. Okay. Is that it this evening?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, we will pick up again, God willing, next week on page 15 with lesson 4 on the authority of Christ.